The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pod of Thunder and Christian rock and roll. That's right, because today we're going to rock. We're going to rock for something new. We're going to rock for something true today on Talk is Jericho with two special guests, Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show and Howard Jones from The Devil You Know, Killswitch Engage. Here's the connection. It seems like a random collection of dudes. Here's the connection. All three of us love Christian metal, so we have this group text going, which I call Heaven's Metal. And today, all three of us are together doing the Heaven's Metal Meltdown. Here we are. We've got some great stories about going to see some of these bands live, including Striper, Bloodgood, Baron Cross, White Cross, Guardian, talking about meeting some of our heroes, then eventually playing with them on stage. Both Richard and I have gotten up to play with Striper in recent years. We love Christian heavy metal. It was a huge, huge scene back in the 80s when there was all these bands coming out of the woodwork. Howard and I know them all, and Richard is an idiot savant when it comes to Striper. Well, half of those are true. It's been a great, great conversation with some good guys. Two dudes with hilarious laughs. Howard is a very funny guy. Howard is returning to Talk is Jericho. He is a TIJ alumni, which I just remembered right now. So you remember how funny he is. Some great stories from our childhood and teenage years, trying to meet the bands, going to concerts, collecting albums, even cassettes. Remember those? How about catching Bibles from Striper? It's a great conversation. The Heaven's Metal Meltdown with Richard Christie and Howard Jones. But first, very excited to say that DDP is in the WWE Hall of Fame. It was a very hectic weekend. It was a great weekend. That Hall of Fame ceremony was long. WrestleMania was even longer. It always amazes me that even with a 7-hour show, that some matches still don't seem to have the time that they deserve or should have. I thought my match was good. I thought I felt the same way about quite a few about my WrestleMania matches. I remember the CM Punk one, the Edge one, the Regal one. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people say, "Oh, what a great match! One of my favorites of the show." I always come out of there going, "Yeah, it wasn't bad." I find that Mania has so much of a build up that it's hard to live up to the hype. I did that one year with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 19. We had the best match on the show, but it's hard. You know, there's a lot of factors going into it. Long show, who's on before you, who's on after you, what kind of time you have. But bottom line is, it was a great spectacle for everybody, and I really enjoyed the night after Raw, where I just had the cameo appearance of doing a promo and then getting powerbombed through a table. But I really enjoyed that promo. It reminded me a lot of an old school rock promo where he would listen to the crowd and kind of get into it. I loved Beach Ball Mania is Running Wild, which was fun for me. You crazy kids out there at the Raw after WrestleMania. And how I do those type of promos, I'm not sure how Rock did them. Maybe he would just listen to the crowd back in the day, but I always have a speaker beside the camera so I can hear the live crowd, so it sounds like they're right beside me. And that gives me a little bit more inspiration and motivation, and a little bit more of an idea of what kind of timing I need to make those promos work. So it was a great weekend, and capped off by the Hall of Fame, seeing my good friend Diamond Dallas Page, one of the newest inductees into the WWE Hall of Fame, standing up there, giving a great speech, giving me some props there, which I enjoyed as well. So it was cool to see that, and what an impact Dallas continues to make on people. incredible after wrestling. I'm talking about all the lives he's changed with his DDPY program, and Dallas is still so fired up about his Hall of Fame induction that he's extended his special Hall of Fame extravaganza right now. You can still get 30% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY related merch at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Celebrate with DDP by jumping on board the DDPY program and living a healthier life. You guys have heard me talk about what DDP Yoga has done for me. Now you're really going to hear it when the new Fozzy single comes out in May. The record's probably going to come out in the summertime, maybe a little bit later, maybe early fall. But you're going to hear it my singing, because the singing comes from the core, and DDP Yoga has helped strengthen my core. You've seen the year I've had at the WWE as well, and that's thanks in part to DDP Yoga. And I do DDP Yoga everywhere and anywhere. I just open up the app and get to work wherever I am, backstage at a venue, in a hotel room. The app makes it easy, and it's got a whole new set of workouts on it, so you'll never get bored. The app has also got tips for healthy eating, recipes to keep you on target. It's everything you need to get on that path to healthy living and to stay on it. And right now, like I said, you can get 30% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all related merch at the ddpyoga.com/Jericho link. That's 30% off hats. How you doing? T-shirts, how you doing? Yoga mats, how you doing? Heart monitors, how you doing? So much more. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. This is the biggest sale ever on the DDPY program, so take advantage of it and get on the path to healthier living at the same time. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Change your life today. Get in the best shape of your life, mentally and physically. Do it now with the WWE Hall of Famer himself, DDP. Oh yeah.
Talk is Jericho.
This is the, I'm here with Richard Christie and Howard Jones, and this is our, we call it, I don't know what you guys call it on my group text, I call it Heaven's Metal is the name of the group text that I have.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So this all
shout out to Doug Van Pelt.
Right off the bat, we just annihilated all of the people listening, who is the editor of Heaven's Metal magazine. Yep. So this all started actually when Howard did my show a couple of years ago, a year ago, whenever it was. We started talking about Christian metal, and I was like, wow, the only other guy I've ever met that loves Christian metal as much as me and you is Richard Christie. So I created this group text about so we could just talk about Christian metal, and now here we are. We've been waiting to do this for a while because we're actually going to go do this podcast, then we're going to go see Stryper play To Hell with the Devil in its entirety, which is super exciting for all three of us, especially for you, Richard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I begged my parents to take me to see Stryper on August 7th, 1987, when they played the Kansas Expo Center with TNT and Loudness. I recorded the commercial off the radio and listened to it nonstop over and over and over. And
you still have it to this day.
I sent it to you.
You Dropboxed the commercial from 1987. That's mind-blowing, man.
I'm a geek. I'm a Stryper geek, a proud Stryper geek. But so I've been waiting 30 years to see them play all of, and I don't even think back then they played the whole time.
Oh, no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Did you ever see Stryper in that time frame?
I saw them on the In God We Trust tour. Finally was old enough where my parents are like, okay, now in 1988, I was 14. They let me skip a day of school. They even wrote a doctor's note for me. They were so cool. We went to Springfield, Missouri. It was Stryper and White Lion, and it was my first concert ever. And aside from Manowar, the loudest concert I've ever seen.
They had
a wall of Mesa Boogie amps, and it was when Robert Sweet had two drum sets together. And he had the fireman's pole that he would slide down the pole down to the stage because his drums were up so high. And
right.
It was just amazing. My mom went with me, and it was I always have to thank my parents for that
giving
experience.
You the Stryper. Yeah. How about you, Howard? Did you see them in the 80s?
No, I got to see them in the 90s once. But yeah, for me, it's like this is just going to be a fresh memory. Like, I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I didn't get to see them back then, but, I mean, come on, To Hell with the Devil, that was the soundtrack. That's when I actually discovered, like, oh, I can sing some high notes.
Where did you grow up again?
Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio, right. Yeah. So you're three guys here, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Columbus, Ohio, and you're...
Redfield, Kansas.
Okay, right. So that's three...
Is that a place? Is that real?
Well, it's about 40 people there.
It's three pretty distinct areas of the country, but I think one thing is that Stripers was a very underrated band for us, how big they were,
yep,
and how many people they influenced. You
absolutely
know, and I think, because I saw them in 1988 In God We Trust Tour as well in Fargo, North Dakota. I had to drive down from Winnipeg.
Was White Lion
White Line was the opener? Yeah. Actually, I think it was probably in 89 at that point.
Because they did Hurricane was the opener on the second leg.
Okay,
wanted to go. I didn't get to go to the second.
We had White Lion, and I drove down with a couple of my friends. And at the end of the night, the people were gathered for the meet and greet, and I remember just ditching my friend. I said, "I'll meet you outside in a bit." And I just got I pulled a Spicoli. You know, when he gets to the end of the line at the field trip and goes like, "Are you in this class?" I am today. And that's what it was like. I just stood in the back of the line of like the meet and greets, and then I got to go and wait in the bleachers for Striper to come out.
Wow.
And they gave us all a Bible, and I was so excited, but I had one of those cameras that you go and then you turn it.
Oh, yeah.
But I had taken so many pictures, I only had two pictures left, and I got a picture with Oz, which turned out great, and I had a picture with Robert, who was my favorite at the time, and only half of the picture took. For some reason, like, it was only half an exposure left. So when I took it to the store to get it developed, because you couldn't see the pictures back then instantly, I was so sad that I only got half of Robert Sweet. It's like, I only wanted was Robert Sweet. I only got half of Robert Sweet. But I remember that just being how the lights were so amazing. The drum set was huge. But there was a jam-packed hall, probably about, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 people. But Striper was huge back then. But if you were a metal guy... to be into Christian metal was not really the cool thing.
No, it was not.
Right?
Absolutely not. I mean, they have a few platinum albums. They were drawing. But yeah, it wasn't cool to like something. It's like, oh wow, those solos are spot on. The drumming solid. Oh, they're Christian? Nah, man.
Right.
Yeah, but that's immediately ostracized.
Turn right off. Yeah.
But my friend, my buddy Jerry, who lives in L.A., is a huge Striper fan, too. He said it best. He's like, they were kind of the real rebels in the 80s, like, because everybody else was doing, you know, the dark
right
kind of
yeah. satanic stuff.
They were rebels. They were doing the Christian metal.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you kind of had to keep it a little bit of a secret if you're a fan of them. And so they were kind of the rebels in the 80s. And it was even like that with me. I remember one of my neighbors who was a metalhead, he was like, oh, yeah, this band Striper, you better not tell anybody you like them at high school. Or at the time, actually, I was in junior high. So I was like, why? I didn't think there was anything wrong with them being Christian. He's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's not the cool thing. And so I was a little nervous telling people I was a Striper fan.
But it's so funny because when you think about it, okay, like you mentioned like Venom, let's say, or Slayer or Possessed. There's so many satanic metal bands. I say that quote unquote. But so they're so over the top with the goat's heads and the upside down crosses. I mean, mm-hmm. King Diamond, there's nothing cheesier than King Diamond. If you look at a picture of him and listen to his vocals, I mean, King Diamond's awesome. But
he's my other favorite singer.
Well, see, you have the Yin and Yang, right?
I'm a huge those are my two favorite bands, Striper and King Diamond.
But here's my point, and that's interesting, but I want to ask you a question about that. But my point is that he's so, like, if you're taking what people didn't like about Striper,
mm-hmm.
was the overt Christian lyrics and imagery and the high vocals.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing with King Diamond, but opposite.
Yeah.
So why was King Diamond cool and Striper was not? It didn't make sense to me.
But that's what drew me to King Diamond also, is, like, I kind of never judged people on what religion they were. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when I was younger, I just loved the music. I love Striper's music. I love the catchiness of it. And it didn't bother me at all that they were Christian. I mean, my parents were a little bit religious, but not too much. But it was the same with King Diamond. It didn't really bother me what religion he was into. I loved his singing and I loved his
music. Right.
So though, and I remember exactly when I saw it in Metal Edge magazine. I think it was 1989. Robert Sweet and King Diamond met at one of those old foundation forums, and they had a picture together in Metal Edge. And I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. I thought it was so, and I remember, I think there was an interview with Robert where he said, yeah, King Diamond was totally cool. He wasn't questioning that that Robert was a Christian. They just hung out and were like totally cool with each other.
Oh, that's your perfect storm, isn't it?
I know. I loved it.
I'm just envisioning a Striper King Diamond tour where the production is just a giant cross in the back that's right side up for Striper, and then when King Diamond comes on, it's on a wheel. They just turn it upside down.
A guy with a PBR comes out like a roadie and turns the cross around. Yeah.
What was the first time that you can remember seeing Striper, Howard?
How
did you get it, or why did they appeal to you so much?
I remember seeing the videos and everything. I remember when, like, they got on the talk show, and I saw the video where they did Makes Me Want to Sing.
With the bouncing ball.
Yeah.
I remember
and it
that.
It was just like, yeah, so you could follow the lyrics. So you got what was it. And like, oh, they are singing about God. And like, boom, hits the high note at the end. I was just like, nailed it. This dude is awesome. I was just like, it was amazing.
I don't know.
For some reason, it was just catchy. Song structure and hooks, man. And they had it for days.
Mm-hmm. And the guitar playing, too. There's never been a band that had such intricate solos together, except for German power metal. We were talking Helloween earlier. Helloween had that. But you never had that in Iron Maiden. You never had that in Metallica. You had harmony parts.
Yeah.
But not harmony guitar solos for Reach Out. That's got to be a 16-bar solo, at least, of just this intricate harmony playing. Mm-hmm. And it used to drive me nuts when my musician friends would still not rate Striper and take the piss out of them, but you can't deny the musicianship of this band.
You know? People think it's just because of what they wore and the fact that they sang about God is they weren't legitimate. You are wrong. band was good,
and they even kind of play it down there, like they don't kind of admit that they're amazing musicians, but they really are.
Absolutely.
They know.
Yeah.
What was your first exposure to Striper, Richard?
The Calling on You video in February of 1987. I was watching MTV just randomly during the day, and Calling on You came on, and I was like, this is maybe the catchiest song I've ever heard in my life. And it just stuck in my head, and I remember I went on a trip with my grandparents to Branson, Missouri, and this song was in my head the whole time. And when I got back from this trip with my grandparents, I was like, I have to find out who that was. and right around that time when I got back from this trip, the video for Free came out.
Another killer
on Dial MTV. And I started calling every day. And that's right around when I bought the cassette, April of 87.
Wow.
And I would call every day. I think it was like 99 cents to call and vote on Dial MTV for the Free video. And I remember Calling on You and Free were both on Dial MTV at the same time. Like in the top 10, yeah.
Wow, it's like Ginger Total Recall. How do you know all this?
Rich is like a Striper idiot savant.
Oh, yeah. it's genuinely creepy.
I reread Michael Sweet's book this week to prepare for the show.
For the show tonight?
Yeah.
My first exposure, we used to have this show in Canada. It was called W5, Who, What, Where, When, Why, right? And it was kind of like the Canadian version of 60 Minutes. And they did this piece on Striper, and I had never heard of the band. I grew up in a Christian environment, but not overly so. Typical thing. My mom took me to church, and my dad kind of went once in a while. But I remember like seeing Christian rock bands at church, like Petra. There's some people had some Petra albums or some Rez band.
I think I still have at least 9 or 10 Petra albums. And Rez band. Oh, man. Come on. I saw them at Cornerstone back in the day.
I want to talk about it. Here's a quick little segue for you. The other day, about 2-3 months ago, WWE has a lot of buses that drive the guys around.
Yeah.
And one of the bus drivers, I knew who he was instantly, but I didn't want to ask. And finally one day I said, hey, dude, are you Louis Weaver from Petra? And he's like, he thought I was like the FBI or something. He's like, well, who's asking? Like, I'm a fan. Remember he had the blonde hair and it was kind of like, I think it's like a wig or something. But it's like, dude, I know you, man. Louis Weaver. And once I told him that, he was my best friend. And everybody's like, Louis, so excited that you knew who he was. He knew us. But, you know, these guys got to still make money. So now he's driving the tour bus.
Yeah. Wow. If I saw him, I would definitely recognize him.
Yeah, in a second.
And so, yeah, I would then just start quoting like Petra songs and everything. Louis, I can't believe I'm saying this is beyond. believe. Wink, wink. You know, that sort of thing.
But my point was that when I saw pictures of those guys on the back of the covers, they looked kind of like just normal guys. Remember, yeah, the guy from Petro had a mustache and kind of looked like it's someone's dad. But then I saw this W5 piece, and looking at these guys, it was like, holy shit, like these guys look cool. Yeah. And as weird as it might sound, the yellow and black was actually, I thought it was really cool.
Oh, yeah. I definitely did.
And it was all focused around Robert Sweet. And it was like, Robert Sweet, demon drummer of Striper, is really
visual timekeeper
who played his drum set to the sideways. Yeah. But I remember it was all basically focused on Robert because he was like the quote machine. He was like the Paul Stanley of Striper. It's like, why do you wear yellow and black? These are caution colors. We want to warn people not to go to hell. And it's like, and they're like, you know, how can you be a Christian and be in a rock band? He's like, well, you know, we're like the bumblebee, and the bumblebee, he just gives this big science lesson. The bumblebee is aeronautically incorrect. There's no way that the bumblebee is supposed to fly with his body shape, but yet he's super soft, but yet it flies. And so Striper's like a bumblebee. We're not supposed to be giving our ministry with Christian metal, but we are. So it's like, you know, Striper actually compared to a bumblebee now.
We should ask him backstage at the show. Tell us about the bumblebee.
Yeah.
See if he remembers all that.
I recorded it on my VHS record. I must have watched that thing about 50 times and then finally found Soldiers Under Command record where the cover is them on a tank. Are you kidding me? Like,
or it's a van. It's like a van from a movie from the late 70s.
But they've done it up all yellow and black.
Robert painted the stripes.
The stripes on the side. Yeah. But it looked like these guys look like killers, man. So,
and the guns that they're holding are pellet guns from Japan from when they played for the Live in Japan
video. Yeah.
Once again, your creepiness has just swept its way in. All right.
Dude, he did a podcast with Mitch LaFon, and he's on, and Mitch had Michael call in as a treat for him.
Uh-huh.
Dude, he instantly went from promoting Charred Walls of the Damned Richards Band to split-second Striper fanatic to where Michael started being like, cool, man. Okay, dude. Can you stop, please?
I had a million questions. I was like, have you guys ever played Believe from Can't Stop the Rock Live?
And Mike's
asking all kinds of
questions. Mike's
questions.
Like, no, man, but you should come play it with us sometime. And you're like, okay. I know right now. I'll come play it right now. But that was like, I just felt like, and I kind of had that Christian element to me,
yep,
but Striper actually drew me more into Christianity to where it was like, it's cool to be into God and still be a rock guy, being a metal guy. Did you guys ever expand your faith with Striper, or was it more just about the music?
For me, it was definitely like a blend, especially because the lyrics had that message, and just, you know, I was raised in, you know, just raised in my household, and just, yeah, going to church all the time, that was habitual.
Right.
It's just, you went to church a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've always liked a lot of different stuff. You know, so I'd listen to, you know, hip hop. I'd listen to R&B and gospel and everything else. But, you know, then, you know, all the heavy stuff started creeping in, and yeah, mom's not too thrilled on it, but I'm like, but it's like, should I listen to Number of the Beast or Makes Me Want to Sing? I'm like, read the lyrics, mom. Boom, in there. So yeah, Striper was on the list.
You can't get in trouble for playing a song that says Jesus, King of Kings, Makes Me Want to Sing. You're not going to get in trouble for that.
No, it's like, Reason for the Season. Who else could it be, mom? Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it worked out.
It did. Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Richard?
You know, I got baptized after I started listening to Striper.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did. Right. I was more open to it, and you know, I'll admit I'm not like the most religious person, but it really kind of opened my mind by listening to Striper, and it also made me want to hear more Christian metal bands. Like, I got into Barron Cross. I got into band that the guys were involved in, like Guardian or Mass.
Well, and you know,
like, I think Michael produced the Mass album, and Oz produced Guardian.
That's so right. I forgot about Mass.
Yeah. See, no, but what happened
Voices in the Night.
Yeah.
Voices in the Night. Yeah, he almost sounded like Michael Sweet.
Can you hear? but also, by the way, watching you get a Brazilian wax, I wasn't really thinking Christian. It was just like, wow, I see so much smooth genitalia right now.
I got
now,
waxed
so
on the
creepy.
Radio once. If you're wondering what he's talking about.
Dude, it's on my iPod. I will never delete that.
Here's another great thing, too, just for all of our backgrounds. We're all rocker guys. Howard's Devil You Know, Killswitch Engage, Richard's Death, Iced Earth. Now he's in Howard Stern's Whack Pack, and myself with Fozzie and Wrestling. And once again, we're still here in 2016 just gushing about this very small genre of heavy metal. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really big, because what happened was when Stryper came out, much as the music business goes, when something hits, there's a lot of people, not that they're copying, but suddenly all the Christian bands start coming out. Yep. And a lot of them weren't good, but there were some great great Christian metal bands surrounding this whole thing that Stryper started. And you mentioned Baron Cross, which was kind of like an Iron Maiden-ness.
Their singer is awesome.
Mike Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I love his voice.
They could have changed their name to Iron Virgin just to make it Christian. And it would have worked. They were, man, they were the real deal. They were great.
Oh, well, we always gush about the song,
Out of Time.
Out of Time.
I love that song.
Yep.
It had this intro from it, like the Worldwide Report. People are just disappearing around the planet. And that was actually from a Christian, these really cheesy movies.
The old Christian movies?
From the early 70s. Yep. Like Christian horror movies.
I've seen them all.
Was it really? I had no idea.
Yes, it's based.
I thought they made that for their album.
No,
it's based on the end times and the rapture.
Yeah, you know, there's like a lot of Christian movies that are coming out now, especially with the dude from, that.
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah. He's like spearheading that.
He's Mr. Christian.
Oh, yeah.
He's spearheading it.
Oh, perfect. But yeah, just the, now there's a glut of them coming out, but back in the 70s there was a huge amount of them. And so then you start going to church and like, okay, for the youth group, we'll show you this is what happens in the end times. It's like Number of the Beast.
It's really cheap though. Cheap. Like, the budget must have been shoestring budget. Bad.
It's terrible,
but it's based all around
the
Antichrist
and without warning. Perhaps thousands, maybe millions just disappeared.
And Mike,
I gotta find that movie.
I'll find out what the name of it is. I'm sure someone, if there's anybody left listening, will be able to tell us what the movie was called. But Mike Lee also had this really distinct haircut, where one half of it was blonde, the other half was black,
like a fox.
I thought that was kind of cool. It was pretty cool. But
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. Man, you look like Mike Lee. He's like, who? But another thing is, like, Mike Lee, when Bruce Dickinson left Iron Maiden, I was like, oh, they should get Mike Lee.
I never thought about that.
Oh, dude, he would have nailed it, right?
Perfect fit.
Destroyed it.
Wow. He almost kind of looked like Mike Lee.
Sorry, Blaze Bailey, if you're listening.
Wow.
But was Baron Cross like the second biggest besides Stryper? Or who else was up there?
For me, that was my favorite.
But I mean, just from a commercial standpoint, because I remember I heard Crying Over You on the radio in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So Enigma Records was putting, because they were on Enigma just like
Enigma was big.
I used to get the Enigma catalog. I ordered all the Metal Massacre cassettes from it. Tell Brian Slagle from, because my band's on Metal Blade now. And I'm I've been a fan of yours since the early 80s. I was ordering your cassettes through the Enigma catalog. And I learned from Michael Sweet's book that the Enigma logo is like a some kind of naked woman or something.
Is it really?
That's what he says.
I thought it was
book.
Three stars.
I gotta look at it. I gotta look at it again. But I used to order Lizzie Borden cassettes.
Oh, I love Lizzie Borden. They're on Enigma.
Lizzie Borden. Yeah.
But it was a major independent label at the time.
Yeah,
like Metal
really
or
was.
Something. So they were
really
spending some money on Baron Cross, because, like I said, I heard that on the radio.
Yeah, I don't know what their sales were, but they were getting some crossover.
Some videos, MTV videos, Atomic Arena, Imaginary Music,
and of course Enigma. First Guardian album.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Produced by Fox.
They used to get their stuff in Walmart, because that was the only place that I could buy albums was Walmart. So that's how I found Baron Cross was buying it at Walmart. Yeah. Wow.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
So let's do a lightning round and just name each one of us name a Christian metal band. We'll see how far.
Well, in full disclosure, you guys know way more of them than I do.
You're more just
this,
striper.
Yeah, from this text group, I'm like, wow, you guys know I'm an amateur when it comes.
If you guys want to know what year that the Call on You single was released and what date, Richard will tell you.
No, Richard's got you. But outside of that, I know.
All right, well then maybe me and Howard can do this.
No, I could try.
Go?
Okay. I'll try.
Okay, White Cross.
Angelica.
Believer.
Tourniquet.
Sacred Warrior.
Holy Soldier.
that's a good one.
Which also I've got to put in like the top five of like crossover from Christian to mainstream. Yeah.
Okay, Neon Cross. There was Neon Cross, White Cross, Baron Cross. And Neon Cross, every song had the beat like this. I'm not even joking. If you hear any Neon Cross songs, every beat's the same. I remember switch up your beat, dude. All right.
No. All right. Neon Cross. I'll go obscure. Leviticus.
Wow, that's super obscure. I have one of their albums.
Wow. Striking.
Striking. You know, they all wore the AOG.
Yeah.
It was the armor of God.
Yeah.
And they actually wore armor. Striking.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Got to put on the whole armor, yo.
There used to be this this Christian import place, probably in the States. I used to get the catalog, and I actually ordered the Striking album. I remember I got it in a cardboard album box. Piece of shit.
Well, Michael Sweet talks about them in his book that supposedly they might have been around before Striper.
Really?
But they were called Striker, and then they changed it to Striking once Striper got kind of popular.
Oh, it's so bad.
Everything about that's great.
Okay, how about Bride?
Oh man.
Great
that was,
band.
That was definitely on the tip of my tongue.
One of the best ones, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic band. And Dale Thompson filled in for Michael Sweet.
After Michael Sweet quit, I had Oz on my podcast and I asked him about it, and he said that Dale only sang one show with him, and then Robert's...
Was it one of the European shows?
Or? I think it was at Disneyland or something like that, okay. And then Robert's mom wanted him to wear the colors, and he did not want to wear the colors.
Wow.
Yeah, he didn't want to fit into that. But I mean, I think like I said, I think the best ones were Baron Cross, White Cross, Guardian, Bride, Striper. Those are probably the top five.
Definitely.
Say, you know, now you mentioned that you went to Cornerstone, Howard, and was the big Christian metal festival that I used to read about in Heaven's Metal magazine.
Absolutely.
With a shout out to Doug Van Pelt.
So
tell us how that would be like. It's a Christian heavy metal festival.
Was it in Illinois?
Yes, it was. Yeah, Bushnell.
Yeah. Bushnell. So
that's a word I haven't said in a long time.
Something you never thought you'd say again. Where like what kind of a crowd are they drawing for this?
Oh, it was. I mean, when I was going, it was a mixed crowd. I mean, this was like early 90s, and I'm a kid, but you know, there's these bands playing, and I mean, Crucified, you know, I saw Believer there, I saw Tourniquet, saw Mortal, I saw Bride, and I mean, it was just a mix. I mean, there was the people that were, you know, I mean, they're walking around with their Bibles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See, people were just starting to figure out, hey, piercing's a cool thing, you know, so you're seeing a lot of that, and just. It was just such a mix, but everybody was super cool. So you're camping, and it's just like, oh, man, I got nothing to eat. Hey, you want to come over and eat some of it? Yeah, we're just grilling. Okay. So, you're hanging out with people. And just
you have nothing to eat. You leave a loaf of bread there and come back later on. The next day, there's like 12. It's holy ground. was there like thousands of people at these things? So it was a big actual festival.
Absolutely. So there was all like the early Christian rap bands playing there, the rock bands, the metal bands. I mean, I saw like Strong Arm, which was a great band. There's what's the band from Australia?
Oh, Mortification.
Mortification. There we go.
God, we
Scrolls
all know
of
that.
The Megaloth, baby.
And that dude had some really bad hair. It was like bangs right across. Yeah. Steve something or other.
Yeah, Steve Rowe.
Rowe.
Yeah, bangs, and it was curly. It's like, wow. It's like, you will not leave the 80s, will you?
That was another one.
On.
The Rowe brothers.
And so, and yeah, don't get offended if you hear this because I bought your albums, bro.
Howard tried to grow your hairstyle too, but it didn't work so well for him.
I wish I could have that hair.
Yeah, the best I could do was look like Ice Cube. I'm like, that's as good as we get early Ice Cube. That's
well, actually, White Cross had a black bass player for a while.
No way.
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
But do you remember Rex Carroll's hair in White Cross,
the guitar player? It was kind of like Steve Rose, but just...
Well, it was more Art Garfunkel.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just, you know, two-thirds of it was missing. Yeah,
it's like Bozo the Clown hair, but he was a great guitar player,
though. Yeah, just like all this glory came out of his fingers.
And they kind of had like every great Christian band kind of had a parallel band.
Yeah.
Like Garden was kind of like Dokken.
Mm-hmm.
White Cross was kind of like Rat.
Yeah.
Baron Cross, kind of like Maiden, like mm-hmm. we said. But Stryper was just Stryper.
Yeah.
They were a mix of many different things, you know?
They really were.
But you could always hear, like, there was a lot of, like, a Van Halen influence, but there would be, like, some really chunky riffs, like a mm-hmm. Priest type of a
Thin
vibe.
Thin Lizzy, a little bit with the harmonies. Yeah.
Did you ever, well, you said you only saw Stryper. What about the first time you met Stryper?
Well, the first time I met Stryper was probably on their 2005 tour, mm-hmm. I think, and I got to go on their bus.
Because at this point you have some notoriety, because how long have you been working for Howard Stern?
Started in 2004.
So it's the door is open.
Yeah, I started talking about how I love Stryper on the show, and they invited me out to Long Island to a show, and I got to hang out with Robert on the tour bus, and I was just flipping out. I was just telling him, like, you know, I was geeking out probably a little too much, asking him, you know, what about the drum fill on From Wrong to Right on Yellow and Black Attack? There's a part kind of about a minute in where there's a little bit of a pause in the drumming, and it's like... I remember asking him about that. He's like, I don't remember that.
I and love like, how weird you're one of those you are. You're so weird.
And I probably told him, I love how you count off the hi-hat and all the songs. You can hear the hi-hat going. And
Did you ever talk to Howard about Stryper?
Oh, yeah. I've talked about it a lot on the show. He doesn't really care too much. Yeah.
That's not me, Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Yeah. But there's been a few times where we were talking about 80s music, and I go, hey, you should... play Calling on You by Stryper. He's like, no, this is my show. I'm going to play what I want to play. But there's some of the bumpers and stuff on the show that we've gotten Stryper on, which people once in a while say they've heard.
Give them 10 seconds of play.
Yeah. Awesome.
I remember, it's funny because Robert Sweet was always my favorite. And over the years, I've become pretty close to Michael. I actually even got to go to his wedding, which was amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I remember Robert had done this solo CD called Love Junk.
I remember that. Right? Yeah, yeah.
So on the back of it, it had an address on it or a phone number or maybe an early email. So I actually had gotten in contact with Robert Sweet. And we had a show at the Staples Center with WWE. And I don't remember exactly how we were going to do this, but I'm driving up the ramp up from the Staples Center and all the fans hang out there when the car comes out. And Robert is standing there. And I think I knew I was supposed to meet him up there. And he's like, Chris. And he's got a big cowboy hat and black gloves on. This is like 2002 or so. And so he gets in my car and we start driving around, right? And just talking or whatever. But it was just like one of those weird things where I'm driving Robert Sweet around and he's been waiting for me. And he made this big picture, like this size. It was a collage of pictures of him drumming, like really cool pro shot pictures of him drumming. Wow. And it said, like, to my rock and roll, I can't remember what it said. It was a nice, really nice subscription. And it was just this really weird moment of, like, when fan and peer and guy collides, you know what I mean? Because I was too, like, blown away to ask him any fanboy questions because I couldn't mm-hmm. believe that he was waiting for me, like, screaming my name like a fan.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, I didn't mean the fanboy, but I was just kind of waiting. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit that to have Robert Sweet in this car with me. Wow. You know, that was kind of a weird.
I saw you when they announced you on stage in 2003 at the House of Blues show.
That's right.
In L.A.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw it because I traveled around in 2003 when they got back together.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Like a deadhead?
All over the country to see him, yeah.
See, and that's awesome because it doesn't have anything to do with Stryper, but just when you, like, meet someone and then you just have this run-in. It was like, basically, I sat in a car for about an hour and listened to music with Steven Tyler. I'm like,
what?
It's just like,
wow.
How is is this happening? Yeah, yeah, so yeah. shout out to Kelly Cat from Live Nation. Thank you, babe. You rule.
That's
yeah, it's
great.
It's just like
right?
You're awesome, and it's just yeah, that wouldn't have happened without.
It's very
without
strange. So just to take what you said, because we talked about this a bit earlier. So when I was in high school, did you guys like when you graduate, you have to write your little like ambition, like in your high school yearbook, you write a little write up about yourself. So I remember my ambition was to play bass in a Christian metal band. That's what I wrote my ambition, right? And I had this dream that I can still vividly remember that I was actually in Striper as the bass player. And I remember my outfit and everything. I had a wicked mullet. I still had the mullet and I had a sleeveless outfit. So fast forward to Striper does a show at Anaheim during NAMM about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. right after they put out their covers album. And Michael asked me if I wanted to sing Blackout with them.
Wow.
So, dude, I just found a clip of it online. There's actually a clip of it, but I went and sang Blackout with Striper. And at the end of it, I said, listen, I just want to tell you guys, 20 years ago, I had a dream that I was in Striper and said so in my high school yearbook. And now I'm actually in Striper for one song. It was like so cool, like to sing with them.
That's awesome.
Well, in my high school yearbook, I wrote, I want to be 42 years old and go see Striper play the whole To Hell with the Devil album. And now it's come true.
Once again, creepy.
No, I didn't actually write that. But I got to play sing-along song with Striper.
That's oh, wow. Awesome,
in New York, which it was the craziest day because it was a friend of mine's birthday. We went out. We were drinking all day. I went to Striper because I love having a good buzz when I go see a concert. You know, I love beer. And so...
We noticed.
Yeah, I have a six-pack right next to me. If you guys want some,
with half of one gone, I think you'll be all right tonight.
Yeah, I'm drinking some beers right now. But so all of a sudden, Michael Sweet from the stage, he goes, is Richard Christie here? Because I think I had tweeted about that I was going to be there. And I was like, and I went to my wife, did he just say my name?
Wow.
And then... you know, then they played some more songs, and then finally he goes, Richard Christie, are you really here? You need to come up to the stage right now if you are. And I was like, is he really asking me to come up on stage? So I go up towards the stage, and Robert hands me the sticks, and I was like, what is happening? I didn't know what was going on. Nothing was pre-planned, and then Michael goes, hey, you know sing-along song, right? And I was like, well, yeah, I've been listening to it for 30 years and been practicing to it since I was about, you know, 13 years old on drums. So luckily I knew it, you know, I knew the song, and we jammed it, and it was freaking awesome.
Wow, so, just right off the cuff.
Just off the cuff, and it was
fantastic.
Yeah. It was just surreal, like.
And that's hard, too. I don't care if you know the song or not. Just jump right in there.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, with a foreign foreign drum set.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, and it's like, these aren't the sticks I'm used to. I don't know where everything's placed. Not to mention, his set is not small.
Right.
But you know what? It probably helped me that I was a little bit buzzed because I was just...
No inhibitions.
I was loving it. I was just in... And you know what? I was in the moment and I enjoyed it. And it was awesome.
Was the drum set turned to the side?
It was, yeah.
I don't think he does that anymore. So let's talk about it. So was Robert Sweet your favorite drummer when you...
Oh, absolutely. And I have tapes of me from 1987 playing along to the whole To Hell with the Devil album.
Wow.
On my three-piece Gretsch drum kit that my parents bought from a junkyard, which I stripped the paint off of and painted them yellow and put black electrical tape around them. Literally, I turned my drum set yellow and black in 1987. So
I want to live in your brain for 24 hours and see if I make it out alive.
It's a fun brain.
It's amazing in there.
Thanks, Howard.
What did you think, and did you ever find out why Robert had his drum set turned to the side? So for people that don't know, if usually when you watch a concert, you're watching it face on the drum set, the drummer's facing you, see eye to eye. Robert had his turn to the side, so he was kind of looking off stage, and you were basically just seeing a profile of him playing.
I love that. I mean, he called himself the visual timekeeper.
That's right.
You know, in the albums, that was his name. Yeah. So it's so that you can see everything that he's doing, and I freaking love it. I used to love, too, when he had the cymbals on chains.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's talked about in interviews how sometimes they'd smack him.
I do remember the cymbals on chains.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was... Come on, it's just when you saw that, you're a kid, and you're like,
well, yeah,
that's so amazing. Cool.
He had one of the coolest drum sets. I think
the timpanis.
The timpanis, too.
Yep.
Because back in the 80s, the bigger the drum set, the better. Mm. But I think Alex Van Halen's was probably the biggest, but Roberts was probably second biggest.
The In God We Trust tour, that drum kit was like... several drum kits put together.
Right?
And he would like turn and play different parts of the drum kit. It was so cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the Always There For You video, he's got that drum kit in it.
When you have to Uber to play the floor toms, you know, it might be a little too big.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
So let's talk about some of the Striper videos. Back once again in the 80s, you would get long form VHS tapes that you would buy and then you would watch them. Mm-hmm. And the first one that it took me forever to find it was I got Striper Live in Japan, mm-hmm. which was a great set from 85, I believe it was. It was right before, maybe even before.
Before
Soldiers came out.
I was just reading Michael's book. I think they were mixing Soldiers when they flew to Japan to tape that.
So right.
All the Soldiers songs that they play were brand new, I think, at the time. I don't think the people had heard them.
Right.
So did they just have, was it the Yellow and Black Attack that was out before that?
Yeah, that was the EP.
Yeah, so it was just that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because if you even watch it, I'm sure you know this, that some of the lyrics are even different.
Yeah, like, and Michael Surrender. Talks about that in his book.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, see, have you never seen? That. No, I haven't.
It's great because, you know, sometimes Mike plays without a guitar, but he's wearing these black spandex, and you can basically tell what religion he is. you can see that he's circumcised. And the first time I met him, we mentioned that. He's like, oh, dude, my kids give me so much crap about that. It's like, I can never live it down. I'm like, what were you thinking?
At least you got kids out of it. Come on.
Like, I literally remember on the school bus in, like, 1988, a girl brought a Metal Edge magazine, and she was saying, I'm in love with this guy. And it was Robert Sweet, and he had these super tight spandex on.
Right.
And you could see his what he had going on downstairs. And this girl at our school was like in love with him because she's like, wow, he's great.
Okay, the only thing I can think of to say to that girl would be like, he's hotter than you.
He had the
Farrah Fawcett.
Dude, thing. Yeah. Look at that shirt. Good looking band.
And that's wearing the shirt with Robert on it.
It's the In God We Trust picture of Robert. His hair is insane. Yeah.
Where he's lifting his arm up and he's like, got the suspenders on.
No shirt.
Farrah Fawcett hair. He's gorgeous.
Hairy chest. The half picture that I took that was me and half of Robert Sweet, it's just this half and he's got these giant pair of sunglasses, one of them, right? And he's got no shirt on, so you can see these one half of a giant pair of sunglasses and one half of a hairy pectoral.
I swear, if that band came out today, he'd be working for Victoria's Secret.
Oh, yeah,
he'd be like on the runway.
For sure. Now, do you remember at the end of Live in Japan, they each do a little video shout out, and Michael goes, Striper stands for Salvation Through Redemption, Yielding, Peace, Encouragement, and Righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's just too easy. That's just too convenient.
I will not remember that or memorize that.
How long did it take for you to do that?
Yeah.
You know?
That and by his stripes we are healed.
Right, sure. Well, that's what Isaiah 53.5 means, right?
Yeah.
The famous Isaiah, which I could never spell. Isaiah, the only reason I can spell it is I'm looking at your shirt right now. But I always love the fact that they had the Bible quote underneath the logo.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty rad.
Awesome. Yeah, they had it like on the Calling On You video, I think it showed on there.
Now, then the other one was...
I'm going to do one for my name. It's like... Howard owns wicked armor regarding demons. There we go. Boom!
Bam, 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 bam. That was good.
Did I nail it?
I think you did. Howard owns wicked armor repelling.
Yeah,
that's perfect. I like how you were silent as you were thinking of that.
How did you think of that so fast?
Howard owns wicked armor
moron.
Repelling
that's
demons.
Why.
Now, the other one was Striper in the beginning, which was more of a personal piece, a video log of them kind of in backstage and behind the scenes. And that's where Oz goes fishing. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me about that.
I remember watching that.
Yeah.
Okay.
JoJo Anthony.
That was his friend.
That was his buddy. We got to ask Oz if we see him tonight. Hey, what's JoJo Anthony been up to?
And you said you want to get him to play the fishing song.
Oh, I love the fishing song. Oh. And that was part of the promotion for the In the Beginning video featuring a new original song by Oz Fox.
That's right.
Like Gone Fishing. That's yeah. Right.
But they never said that it was called Gone Fishing, yeah. did they? They just said a new original song.
Yeah.
So you buy it. And then I'm like, where's this original song? It's like, that's it?
We should ask him to do it live tonight.
Do you know how it goes? Of course you know how it goes. It's like fishing in the morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? I should know it better. But
how dare you?
I know. We should do a cover of it sometime.
Yeah, just fishing. Yeah.
And a shout out to my friend Jeremy in Columbus. You remember the fishing song. We used to go to this place in Columbus. They played Christian music, sold all the Christian albums and everything, and just the Striper VHS was on repeat.
All the time.
So it would be like late Friday night. So it's like, yo, are we going? Yeah, let's go. So you go there, play pool, buy an album, watch a Striper, watch Baron Cross videos.
Oh, that sounds like my kind of place.
See, that's pretty cool, man, because there was a place like that in Winnipeg. There was a place like that in Calgary. I moved to Calgary. Uh-huh. There's a couple of them, and you could go there and actually hang out.
Yep.
And maybe not – fellowship as a Christian, we're basically hanging out with other people that liked – Christian metal,
yeah.
because they were never in mainstream stores. I think only Striper and Baron Cross and like the mm-hmm. Guardians of the World.
Yep.
But the rest were all on Star Song. That was
without a doubt, Star Song.
And there was Pachyderm was another one. Oh, yeah. Pachyderm Records, but they were all on those ones. And then you could go and just hang out and see the new stuff. That's where I found Sacred Warrior, yep. who was like a Queensryche, by the way.
Oh man,
yeah,
and they killed it, man.
They were great. I saw them live. Listen to this tour that came to Winnipeg. Don't forget, this is not the States, and this is not Toronto or Vancouver. This is the Prairies, which
yep,
Howard lives there now, which is another hilarious thing.
I have seen the Prairies.
Yes. It was White Cross and Sacred Warrior.
Wow.
That's a hell of a bill in 1989.
Yeah,
89.
It was right after White Cross released the. Triumphant Return album Sacred Warrior just had Master's Command.
Yep.
And they came, and I remember a couple things. One, that's when I saw Rex Carroll's horrible hair. And then the singer of Sacred Warrior must have been 450.
Oh yeah,
he was huge.
Double deuce, man. He's a big boy.
He was about 5'6" and about 5'6" wide as well.
And he had the lungs to go with it,
dude.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Tate, like
came
total
out,
Jeff Tate.
Killed yeah. it. But yeah, I saw them on the Rebellion tour.
Wow.
He came out. Oh wow! Oh wow! And I said, Oh wow! Look at that guy. He's really big.
Was he as big? Remember that band? Remember the band Mammoth?
Yeah.
Was he as big as this? Oh, yeah.
He could have been the singer from Sabotage as well.
Oh yeah,
he had the same vibe.
I remember Mammoth had their drummer had a bass drum for every letter in the word Mammoth.
There you go, that's right.
And meanwhile, he just played like a simple beat.
He had a Mammoth drum set.
They
as well.
Did,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And all he did was just go. As a matter of fact, one of my theme songs in WCW, they had these generic theme songs. One of them is a Mammoth song.
Oh, really?
And I never knew until the advent of Twitter when people were going, oh, that's The Days of Our Lives by Mammoth. I'm like, what?
That's awesome.
I know everything about metal, and I've never heard of Mammoth except for that one video.
Amazing.
But so I saw, and the other one that I saw at the Saints Roller Rink. Now, we've all played gigs in weird places and dumpy places.
Oh, yeah.
Bloodgood. We haven't mentioned
yes.
Bloodgood.
Wow, yeah, Bloodgood. Wow.
Another great, great Christian metal band.
Absolutely.
Great guitar players and just a great singer. So they roll up in their RVs to the Saints Roller Rink. Now, who booked this one? And why in this is like a roller skating rink. And they had to set up in the middle of the roller skating rink. And I don't recall them having a stage. I think it's one of those ones where they just played on the floor.
Were people skating while they're
I've definitely played some roller rinks, man.
Have?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were on the floor. It's just no one's skating at the time because it's like it's your time. But then, free skate in between bands.
Yeah. I was just saying, I would love it if people skated while I played. That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. Hey, man, I've been doing this for a long time.
But I remember we all had to sit on the floor like crisscross applesauce. And I'm envisioning, because I remember I went to the Christian store and saw the poster for Bloodgood. And I was like, at this point in time, you think everybody that has an album out is rich. And these guys have two or three albums. These guys must be loaded.
Oh, yeah.
And we went there, and I my mind is telling me there was 20 people, and there's got to be more, maybe 50, 75. Because no one, and I was like, how could nobody be at the Blood Good show at the roller rink?
I know.
This is the place to be. And then I remember I asked, they're selling merch after I went and asked Michael Bloodgood that I was in a Christian metal band. I was asking because I wanted to be in a Christian metal band, but the guitar player in the band I was in was not a Christian. He hated Christianity. So I went and asked him, what do you do if your guitar player is not a Christian and you're a Christian? And I want our band to be much more of a Christian band, but he's just so anti-Christian. He's like, well, you just have to pray on it. You just have to pray on it. So I did, and he never turned anything. But I remember asking Michael Bloodgood for spiritual advice at 16 years old.
Have you talked to him since?
To Michael Bloodgood?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen him since.
He would probably love that. Like, dude, it didn't work.
But that's the thing. Like, that's one of the things that I think I have a good relationship with Michael, because once I started kind of getting in that camp to tell him, like, hey, thanks for kind of – because like you said, I'm not the most card-carrying Christian, but the morals and the foundation is there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The positivity.
Yes, the positivity. Knowing the difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Having some guilt and regret
from
when you
wrong
do
to right.
Screw up. Yeah. Right on. Yeah, exactly. So to be able to tell Michael Sweet, like, hey, man, this is directly because of Striper, because of the way you guys looked, like I said earlier, which made me realize, like, you can be cool and still be into Christianity and Christian rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And that's an absolutely amazing thing, because I definitely got that from them. It was just like, you know what, I like this band and there is nothing wrong with it, and you know what? I don't care.
Right.
And so it's just, I mean, I had the tapes with me at all time and still have the cassette tape with the original To Hell with the Devil artwork.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's cool.
I have it on vinyl with the original artwork.
Did you get it originally?
No. Originally, I got the cassette with the second artwork.
Right.
Just the love. Yeah, mine was the words original. On it.
Wow. So To Hell with the Devil, which is Striper's biggest record, when I bought it too, it just was a black cover that had this really cool looking Striper logo. It was like a new version of the Striper logo with To Hell with the Devil written on it.
Yeah.
Then a couple years later, I found out that there's an original cover. Explain it.
Original cover where they're all angels. And they're fighting the devil, and they are basically beating the heaven out of him. So it's just and it's, you know, it has some, it's graphic, especially for, what was that, 85?
86.
I'm sorry. So it was like, it was pretty graphic.
You know why they changed it, right?
Oh yeah, I think the major stores stopped
the Christian bookstores didn't want a pentagram.
Well, what it was that Mike explained that is that there's a pentagram necklace that, because there's a kid that the demons are trying to drag to hell, and the angels that look like Striper, though Michael claims it's not them, but it's totally them.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on. Although one of the angels wasn't Hispanic like us Fox. So they pulled this pentagram necklace off of the kid and threw it like in the sky.
Yeah.
So it's not a big pentagram. It's not Shout of the Devil by any means, but they said that the mainstream stores and the Christian stores would not carry it because of the pentagram. So they released 10,000 copies or something of the original.
Yep.
So if you have it, it's super rare.
I have two of them. Yeah.
But did they reprint them?
Of course
them?
You
Are those
do.
Originals?
I think I have two originals.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got the original.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But I love the new one too. I love just, it's such a statement, To Hell with the Devil, with the red letters and just that kind of font that they have. I love it.
I think there might even be a Bible quote underneath To Hell with the Devil. I think it's Striper, Isaiah 53.5, and To Hell with the Devil. Is there something underneath that?
There might be a verse
under that?
You know what I love, and it's the weirdest thing, and I want somebody to make a candle of this, is I remember buying the Striper To Hell with the Devil cassette and opening it, and the smell
was
freaking awesome.
All cassettes or just Stripers?
Mostly Stripers. There was some about the Striper To Hell with the Devil cassette, and I know it sounds creepy.
But okay, everyone hears this, right?
It smelled so good. And I want to talk to Yankee Candle and have them make a Striper To Hell with the Devil cassette 1986 candle.
And we're also going to do a cologne, Richard Christie's Le de Striper.
Yeah.
Now, my favorite thing is, like, Howard and you, and we've, like I said, we've come together through our Christian metal group text, but you two guys have only met each other briefly, or you met before?
Yeah, we had, well, We met at a show at the Palladium in Massachusetts.
Yeah, New England Metal Fest 2004. Yeah, yeah. You were hanging out with the Trivium guys, I think.
Yeah. And we hung out at Metallica,
MSG. Yeah.
Were you just there? Or were you playing open?
Oh, no. I was just hanging out.
But yeah. I've been a fan of Howard's for a long time.
So this is great that you actually get to hear that.
I was a fan, too. Like I said, still on my iPod, just you just getting de-haired. I've seen your junk more than I've seen mine.
Oh, no.
Creepy.
Who's the creepy one now? So what did you guys think of when Against the Law came out, when Stryper kind of changed their look and they had beards and they dropped the yellow and black and went to the blue and black, basically, and kind of changed a little bit?
I loved it. I mean, I heard Shining Star. I saw the video on MTV, and I thought it was awesome.
Absolutely.
And the production is amazing. I thought it was a little weird that they kind of changed their message, but it didn't really turn me off. I still thought it's an amazing album, like, no matter what they're singing about. Like, you hear Two-Time Woman, and it's like, well, the lyrics are a little weird.
Hanging out at a party.
Like, yeah.
What?
All my friends everywhere.
Yeah, you were right beside me,
but you weren't there.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you?
But you know what? The music is so good.
It could be their best album. From top to bottom.
I gotta be honest. Musically, I think it is my favorite.
Yeah.
But just as a whole, I'll go to hell with the devil. But yeah, just me. Man, Two Bodies, One Mind.
What a great solo on that, too.
You know what I was thinking the other day? And if I get a chance to talk to Michael, I want to tell him this. That would make an awesome country song. Like, if you listen to that song, it's a kind of a country, like, really catchy country song.
Oh, yeah. So. Make the guitar solo slide.
Yeah, totally. It's just a great, well-written song, and I think it'd be a great country song.
But see, that's another reason why Stryper's so good, is because Michael Sweet is a tremendous songwriter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, their newer records and even the stuff he did with George Lynch and his own solo record. I mean, that guy, it's rare that he puts out a song that's not like, this is good or great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's so prolific, and that's another, like, Stryper had that with their harmonies, and their hooks are so catchy that you know, people love that band whether you cared about the religious aspect or not. Yep. And that's the way it should be.
I love, in Michael's book, he talks about he loves writing music around the holidays, and I love the holidays too, and I love hearing that like around Christmas 85 he wrote most of the To Hell with the Devil album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's like, that's so cool, you know. And around the holidays, I always listen to Reason for the Season and Winter Wonderland, and now I hear To Hell with the Devil, I'm like, that's so cool. This was written around the holidays.
Yeah, you know,
it adds a little bit of festiveness, it totally associates itself with Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
And that's another thing.
Know, that's a bit of my geekiness coming.
Another thing from the W5 piece I was telling you about is it was the last part of the show, and the credits ran during this. Robert Sweet was just jamming on the drums. And I could never find it because it was like bong, dong, bong, dong, bong. It was Reason for the Season. But then, you know how it fades out? And he's just going nuts because he's the visual timekeeper. But I could never find that because it's not on Soldiers. It's not on the Yellow and Black Attack. And it drove, I always was like, what was that? And then one day I found the cassette and heard Reason for the Season. Like, that's it. Yeah. I finally got it.
The cassette single.
But it was great because Winter Wonderland, they do a cover of it. And at the beginning, what does he say? He's trying to find something. Someone to play with them or something to play.
Come on, guys. Oh, you're sick. Oh, man, I got a cold. You're sick again.
Yeah.
Come on, Robert. You're my brother. Help me out.
Oh, man, I'm just going to stick here to the drums.
I'm going to just stick. Oh, all right.
And then he goes, all right, shun you guys.
I'll do it myself.
I love that you just adopted that into our whole text war.
Shun you guys. Like, I need something. I need something strong here. Shun you guys. It's like, no, don't shun us. No. So I'm really excited about this tonight because Stryper, like we said, playing To Hell with the Devil in its entirety. What are you looking forward to the most, Richard?
Holding On.
Oh, really?
I freaking love that song, and I don't think they've done it since the To Hell with the Devil tour. I think Michael has said the vocals are pretty high on it.
Oh, super high.
Yeah,
oh,
but Michael still can hit those notes
right now. But just the chorus of that, I'm holding on. Like, it's so high. Yep. Wow.
So I cannot wait. And I think we talked about in our text group, Rockin' the World, too.
I love Rockin' the World.
Yeah. You know what? As a drummer, too, like, the beginning of Rockin' the World has one of the craziest drum beats. Because he goes off time from his hi-hat.
Oh.
And I remember that was kind of what taught me what off time was. When I was a kid, you know, I used to practice to Hell with the Devil album. And Rockin' the World, it changes time. And he's going on a weird timing on his hi-hat. Mm-hmm. And to this day, it still blows my mind. Another real quick geeky thing about To Hell with the Devil. I never knew until there was a book about Stryper that came out, I think, around 2005. And I didn't know that the cymbals in sing-along song are gated. I always thought Robert was grabbing them.
Oh, okay. Psst,
yeah. Psst, and I always loved that. And that taught me how to choke a cymbal.
Wow.
By practicing the sing-along song, because I thought Robert was choking the cymbals. And then I read in this book that supposedly the cymbals are gated in that song, and Robert was like upset about it, supposedly. But
that means that the recorded with a
the recording cuts off the sustain. But thanks to that gate, like, I learned how to grab a cymbal, like to hit it and grab it. So,
but well, and that's definitely a drummer thing who picks up on that. It's like, oh man, it's like the cymbal's just dying. It's like, so you think it's like, okay, that's a sample. That's But
how about
of
you?
Course you picked up on that. For me, definitely calling on you. Just the music cuts out, the song ends with them saying calling on you.
Oh, it's the a cappella?
Yeah. Blows my mind every time, man. And, of course, just the end, More Than a Man. Just
great tune.
Seriously, it's like, if he wants to call me up, it's just like, one of you guys, kick me in the nads so I can hit that last note, peace out, and then I'll just go whine in the corner for about 10 minutes.
Now, have you ever met anybody from Stryper before?
I don't think I have.
Oh, great. So this is going to be a first view tonight as well. Yeah, absolutely. That's cool.
Well, you know what's great, too, is for the last couple tours, I think they've done a medley of, I think, To Hell with the Devil, Free and Calling on You, and I don't think they've played the full song.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to hearing the full
song. Well, and I was talking to Rich from Fozzy earlier. He saw them in Atlanta, which I think was the second gig. This is probably like gig number 36 or 37. They're going to be so tight.
Oh, yeah. Because
they've been playing that every single night. It's going to be like bam, bam. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is like, we talked to certain songs, but I'm looking forward to the whole experience.
Yep.
Because I'm not sure I've ever seen a band play an album in its entirety.
I don't know if I have either.
I saw Metallica do the Black Album, but they did it from back to front, which was smart because the big hits are at the front. They end with Sandman
I got Struggle With Metallica do Ride the Lightning
in its entirety. Oh, at the Orion Fest when you guys played, right?
That was awesome.
I mean, it's a pretty cool.
It's amazing.
A pretty cool thing to see.
I'm a huge fan of this band, Amon Amarth, and they did. Surtur Rising, I think they did in its entirety, which was awesome. I love bands.
Were they in the boat the whole time?
They had the boat on stage.
You got to do me a favor. We're just getting ready to wrap it up here, and I got one more question. But before we do, you got to tell, Rich has been on my radio show when I had a radio show years ago. One of my favorite stories, and one of the reasons why I love you so much, you got to tell the story about Iron Maiden and your sweatpants.
Oh, yeah.
Howard has not heard this.
No, this is already great.
Oh, thanks.
This has nothing to do with Stryper, but it's just a great Richard Christie story.
Excellent.
Well, I toured with a band called Demons and Wizards. It's John from Iced Earth and Hansi from Blind Guardian. And we were playing the Gods of Metal Festival in Milan, Italy in 2000. We were playing right before Iron Maiden. And like Steve Harris was on stage, off to the side of stage. I was freaking out. It was
Demons and Wizards was a pretty big band in Europe.
It was a super group. Awesome. And I didn't get to play on the album, and I freaking love that album. So I was so psyched to get to do the tour. And so we play, then we get done playing, and Nico McBrain's right behind the stage. I get to say hi to him. He was funny as always and awesome. And so for Iron Maiden, I get to go out into the crowd at this massive soccer stadium in Milan, Italy. And at the sound stage, they always have the scaffolding build up in these big festivals in Europe. And the second second floor of the scaffolding is for all the press to take pictures, because it's like the perfect view of the stage. So I have a backstage pass, so I get to climb up to the second floor of the scaffolding. And meanwhile, Iron Maiden starts, and they're amazing. And it was that first tour back with
Brave
Bruce
New World Tour, yeah.
Yeah. And about halfway through the show, I got to pee really bad. And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? I got to, you know, go through 20,000 people to get backstage to use the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm going to miss a bunch of songs if I go to the bathroom backstage. So I'm like, well, I guess I just got to piss my pants. And so, but the problem was I was on the second floor. It was grating. Like it wasn't an actual like floor. It was like a grating where like a subway grate where liquid will go through the grating. And I was literally standing right above Iron Maiden's soundboard. So if I would have just pissed, it would have leaked down onto their soundboard and shorted out this
whole
stadium festival show. So I crossed my legs and went back to the back of this area and like pissed my pants and made sure it all soaked into my camouflage shorts that I was wearing. And I was like, well, this ain't so bad. So I ended up doing it 3 or 4 more times for the rest of the show. And, you know, because I brought a few beers with me. So, and then I went, and then I got to see all of Iron Maiden. I didn't miss any songs. I was like, hey, why don't I do this at every show? So I went backstage. I remember John Schaefer saw me backstage. And I didn't even say a word. I pointed at my pants, and they were soaked with piss, and he just started laughing. He's like, you're insane.
That's your boss.
And, yeah, and I literally walked right into the showers and showered with all my clothes
on. I hope so. Because you know you had to wear those again because you're on tour.
I did,
oh my
yeah.
God. I got two things to say to this. Number one, your life is a circus. Number two, why do I feel like I heard you did this at Coheed and Cambria?
Oh, I've done it. Yeah. Well,
it's true.
So there are about 4 bands that, to me, there are no songs where I can go to the bathroom. Iron Maiden, Coheed and Cambria, Mon Amarth, and Striper. So if you see me crossing my legs at the Striper show
you better
tonight,
go to the bathroom before.
You're
going
to know what I'm up to.
You're
going to
be like my son. Did you go to the bathroom, Richard? Did you go? Are you sure?
Do you need to potty? You better ask me if I need to potty tonight.
Oh, big baby, go boom boom.
Yeah, as long as you don't see me squeezing my cheeks together.
All right, last question. What's your favorite Striper song of all time?
Free.
Free, quickly, yep, that's it,
that's
right?
That's a song
right
that changed my life. I saw the video. That's when I bought the cassette, when I saw the video on Dial MTV, and it to this day it's my favorite song, favorite video ever, favorite drum intro
Great
ever.
Great drum intro, yeah.
Amazing. And the new Charred Walls of the Damned album on our first song into the first chorus, I do the exact intro to
nice.
Free. Yep, that's it.
I can't even play that on drums. It's not hard.
You realize that
not,
you just told everyone you legally stole stuff.
I did, yeah. I hope it's okay to steal a drum beat. It was in tribute to Robert.
Sure,
so I love you, Robert.
Howard?
That's great. You know what? Like Free, top 5. I think I got to go with Two Bodies.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is
some magic to that album because there was some anger in it.
Yeah, some unrest between them.
Yeah. And it came out in the songwriting and in just the delivery.
Amazing.
That song crushes
for me. I'll give
you
that too. I mean, I would say that I would put that up there. The other one that always comes to mind for me is The Rock That Makes Me Roll.
Oh, yeah.
I love that riff. I love the vocals
heavy,
on that.
So
it's so heavy. Just you think if anyone thinks Striper is all harmonies and niceness, go listen to The Rock That Makes Me Roll. It is dirty. It's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's something that's like, it's better than a Priest riff even.
Yeah.
It's just so gritty and fun. And
can I say we're talking to you, Brian Slagle? Because Brian Slagle gives me a hard time about being a Striper fan. And I'm like, he compares them to, you know, Rat. Like, and
yeah,
some of those
it's
bands.
Not.
No, Stryper is
heavy.
Amazing and so heavy.
And like wow. you said, kind of what you meant, said Howard earlier, is that they were the real rebels of the 80s because they never, I mean, we talk about, you know, the Against the Law period, but through the whole 80s, they never wavered. They
no.
said, F you. You don't like it. This is our stance. This is who
yeah.
we are.
And they just got bigger.
Yeah.
yeah, it's,
yeah.
And that's great. And so, yeah, Slago, I haven't seen you in probably 5-6 years. No, wait. It was
he just texted me a couple
yeah,
minutes ago.
I think maybe about really, yeah, like probably about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't like Stryper? Fight me.
we played Stryper at my wedding, and Brian was there, and I was like, listen to this, Brian. Listen to this. And Jim Florentine was there, too. And Jim and I were both like, listen, Brian, listen to how heavy Stryper is. They're so much heavier than all those bands you compare them to.
There's something I had to bring up. Do you know who played bass on Shining Star?
Oh, yeah, Randy Jackson.
Randy Jackson.
No.
Dog.
I yeah. did not know that.
Randy Jackson oh, yeah. from American Idol. That's played awesome. On Shining Stars. There you go.
That's appropriate.
See, even American Idol was giving props to Stryper.
Oh, shoot. And speaking of, come on. Well, we were talking about Bloodgood and their guitar player, like
David Safiro?
Yeah, David Safiro. He recorded Holy Soldier's first album.
Oh, another wow. producer.
Yeah.
We could talk on and on and on, but we got a rock show to see, man.
I know.
And can I just tell? I wrote down a couple quick stories.
Please.
I'm sorry. I get very wordy when it comes to Stryper. Oh, I just want to talk about how I took a picture of Michael Sweet from Metal Edge to my barber when I was 13 years old to tell him I wanted that haircut, and he couldn't stop laughing for like 15 minutes. He's like, I don't know how to do that.
You're in Gainesville, Kansas, or wherever the hell it was.
Yeah, Fort Scott, Kansas. Fort Scott, where my barber was.
Was your hair that long then?
It was.
He used to have super long hair.
I used to crimp it. Remember crimpers?
Oh, I crimped mine too.
I used to crimp mine.
I killed my hair. I burned it off. I had the
too.
Worst hair.
Yeah.
It's like each day I find out something that makes me love you more, Richard. This is amazing.
And my name is in Metal Edge, I think, in 1988. I won an 8x10 signed Stryper autograph, and they put my name. I was driving home from riding with my parents home from the grocery store, saw my name in Metal Edge, and started screaming and freaking out. They thought I was having an anxiety attack or something. And I was like, I'm in Metal Edge. And I took it to high school the next day and showed everybody.
But let's be honest, it was Metal Edge. You won because you were the only dude that entered that for Stryper.
Well, like, they gave all five mad. Of them away, so there were four other people across the country that want them.
Oh, guys, this has been great, man. I'm so excited we got to do this. And now the yep. best part, we get to go watch Stryper play To Hell and the Devil.
Absolutely.
In its entirety. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You got
guys.
It.
Thanks, Howard.
Do you look at other people enjoying podcasts and end up with a sad smile on your face? A sad smile because you're deaf and can't enjoy a digital audio format? Well, wipe that sad smile off your face and replace it with a neutral one or better, because here comes Braille Yeah! Braille Yeah! Will take all your favorite podcasts, even the ones your narcissistic friends record, and print them out for you in Braille with all the crosstalk and inside jokes that a low barrier to entry medium can provide. Can't read Braille? Braille Yeah! Has got you covered with their Morse code package. They'll flash a bright light at you so you can experience the podcast in the same way ships communicated at sea in the 1800s. Or get their VIP package, and Braille Yeah! Will send a certified lip syncer to talk along with the podcast so that you can read their lips. Imagine seeing the latest Talk is Jericho podcast performed firsthand by one of our award-winning podcast lip syncers. I promise you, they're not weirdos. To find out more about Braille Yeah! Listen to the Team Tiger Awesome show every Sunday on the Jericho Network and Podcast One.
Leave it to Team Tiger Awesome to figure out a way for everyone to enjoy podcasts, even the hearing impaired and the blind. Podcast lip syncers, that's what you need to do. Podcast lip syncers, that's why you need to subscribe on iTunes and leave them a rating and review. And do the same for the newest show on the Jericho Network, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. He debuted with a great episode featuring Andy Summers from the Police, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and Paul Dean from Loverboy. Check that out if you haven't heard it yet. And then his new episode that just came out on Monday with Ricky Rocket from Poison. They talk about everything. CC DeVille, Ricky's recent health scare, lipstick fix, drumsticks and lipstick fix, which was my favorite thing that they had on the back of the Poison record, the first one. The new Poison album, the upcoming summer tour with Tesla and Def Leppard. Get your rock on with Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. And thanks for helping us get our rock on today with the Heaven's Metal Meltdown with Howard Jones and Richard Christie. If you want to start go back and listen to some great Christian heavy metal. Obviously, Stryper is at the peak, but Barron Cross is amazing, especially if you like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. Bloodgood was really good. White Cross was more of like a rat type sounding band who was awesome, and Guardian was great as well. Sacred Warrior, very Iron Maiden-y as well. So lots of great Christian metal bands out there if you want to go find them and check them out. And remind you about this as well. Talk is Jericho, that's us, participates in the Amazon Associates program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for me to earn fees by linking to Amazon.com and affiliated sites. You too can link to Amazon at podcast1.com by clicking on the killer deals button at the top of the page. You can also find all my great sponsors there as well. Saks.com. Go to SaksUnderwear.com/Jericho. Get 20% off your first underwear battle juice. DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Get 30% off the DDP Yoga app and all DDPY merch. BetDSI. Register at BetDSI.com. Use the promo code Jericho25. That's my last name. That's me and the number 25 to get $25 for free plus a 100% bonus on your first deposit. All right. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And keep listening on Friday when we got the newest member of the WWE Hall of Fame and the new Raw GM, Kurt Angle, is going to be here. Who brings you the biggest guests in the most timely of fashions? I do. All right. We'll see you on Friday. In the meantime, and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. And a big yeah, boy. It's true. It's damn true.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.